Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where the Bills get set for training camp next week, next Thursday, their first day on the field at St. John Fisher College in Rochester. NFL training camps are opening this week, however, including in Denver. The Broncos rookies and veterans reporting today. GM John Elway meeting with the media today. The Broncos become the first team to hold a full squad team practice coming up tomorrow morning. Denver's going to play in the Hall of Fame game against the Atlanta Falcons on August 1st in Canton, Ohio, so they get started early. Also today, rookies report for the Cardinals, the Ravens, and Seahawks. By the end of the week, the Falcons, the Lions, the Saints, and the Jets will have their rookies in camp. All 32 teams in camp by a week from Thursday. 20 teams, including the Buffalo Bills, have joined a growing trend of practicing jointly with other teams. The Bills are going to do it with Carolina a couple of weeks away. And this year, 22 of 32 teams stay home. They don't go to off-campus sites. The Bills, one of 10 teams, still holding camp away from their facilities, one of 10 teams in the NFL. Hockey news, Ron Francis is set to be named the first general manager of the NHL expansion Seattle team. The Hall of Famer will get the nod on Friday of this week. He'll get a multi-year contract from the team. The franchise in Seattle set to begin play in the 2021-22 season. They will be the NHL's 32nd team. Bisons in action this afternoon. They got a late start, 1:30 first pitch today. The Bisons continuing their series against the Charlotte Knights. Right now, they're in the top of the second inning, and Charlotte leads it by a score of 1-0 over the Buffalo Bisons. The herd continues on with their homestand throughout the end of the week. And round one of the British Open is tomorrow at Royal Portrush Golf Club in Northern Ireland. Northern Irishman Rory McIlroy looking to end his drought in the majors, trying to win his first major tournament since the 2014 PGA Championship. They have to fend off challenges from people like Brooks Koepka and others. British Open starts tomorrow. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. This is the week when Madden 20 comes out, and we've got on the line with us right now a Madden NFL gameplay designer, ratings adjuster, former NFL offensive tackle, former fifth-round pick of the Patriots in 2007. Happy to welcome Clint Oldenburg back to the show. Hello, Clint. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. I think we had you on this week last year talking about Madden, right?
Yeah, you guys had me on last year. I'm thrilled to be back. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Clint, how many years is this for Madden? And here's a big question, which you may or may not have the answer. How many Madden players are out there right now?
So this is Madden 20. Now that we're launching here, official launch date is August 2nd. We have early access starting next week for some of our players. But total number of Madden players varies at any given time during the year, but it's over 5 million on average every year.
Whew. And I have one more question. I know Steve's got questions for you, too. Just about who's playing this game. What is the – are they kids? Are they gamers? What's the demographic? And maybe what is the target demographic for gameplay designers like yourself?
Our current demographic really is pretty wide. We have anything from, 11, 12-year-old kids, potentially even younger, all the way up to 40, 50-year-old men. Playing games. I think we talked about it last year. Obviously, we would like to try to target a little bit younger audience as we keep going down the road here, just like the NFL is doing. Realistically, they're trying to capture that younger group, those people who are playing Fortnite. I don't know if you guys are aware of that game, but
yep.
a large number of younger people playing Fortnite, and we're just trying to capture some experiences that those people are into as they relate to the NFL.
Who do you think you're talking to, Clint? Yeah, we're a Fortnite. Come on, man. Give us a break.
How is this game? I know that technology drives it. Obviously, it's an electronic video game. I mean, even over the past few years, you've started to expand what the game is capable of. Certainly, when you go on and you watch these games, they almost look like real time video. The players look like themselves. They move well. They move with fluidity and athleticism. It's really come a long way technologically speaking. What are the newest innovations?
Yeah, like you said, the main thing we try to do every year is keep pushing more and more authenticity. So for Madden 20, our creative razor, or our goal, was to make the stars feel like stars. So we created a system called Superstar X Factors, and it's an abilities progression system in our game where 50 of the most elite NFL players are given special abilities that transcend their ratings, that separate them from everyone else in the game. Along with that, there's these X-Factor zone abilities. When you get one of these players in the zone, there's objectives for both the offense and defense to achieve during gameplay. Now, you get a player either into or out of the zone that gives them an extra ability. And all of these abilities are really in the inspiration of their real-life counterparts.
Huh. Glenn, I wonder, what drives the changes? Is it the technology or the desire to make it more authentic? I mean, is it kind of a back-and-forth byplay between those two?
I think it's authenticity, number one, and I think number two is just listening to our players, getting data from our players and getting feedback from our players and finding out what they really want the most in each year's game and trying to deliver that.
You're talking about players who play the game, not the players who are on the game like the NFL players. Most of the feedback, I guess, you get from them has to do with their ratings. You guys hear a lot about that at this time of year, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Unless you're one of those four guys who are in that 99 club, you're most likely not happy with your ratings. And we totally get that. If you're an NFL player, if you don't think you're the best player on the field, then you're going to have a problem. So I totally understand why all of those guys think that they should be higher. But we have to rate players appropriately to the evidence that we have and to make the gameplay the most balanced that it can.
Who's in the 99 club?
So we have four guys to launch the year. We have Aaron Donald from the Rams, Bobby Wagner from the Seahawks, Khalil Mack from the Bears, and DeAndre Hopkins from the Texans. Those are our four 99 club guys.
And what does that mean to be 99 club?
That means that they are the only four players in the game at launch with a 99 overall rating, which is the highest overall rating that we can assign.
And give us some of the, you said that you have a superstar X factor that during different parts of the game, and you said there's 50 guys out there who are stars in the league who have superpowers, these powers were inspired by each guy's individual gifts and his own career. Give us an example of a guy who has maybe a weird superpower that is inspired by his true life self.
I'll give you two examples of what we're going for there. Number one is our cover athlete, Patrick Mahomes. Great player coming off a great season. If you complete three passes of over 30 yards or more traveling in the air during a game with Patrick Mahomes, you'll unlock his zone ability, which gives him what's called bazooka. And this ability allows him to throw an 80-yard pass, which is further than our max pass distance. Our max pass distance in Madden is about 65 yards across the board. That's the furthest we let anyone throw. When you unlock that ability with Mahomes, he can throw it up to 80 yards. And he is actually on record of having an 83-yard throw. So we may have sold him a little short, but that's exclusive to him. Second one, I know you guys are big-time fans of the Patriots up there in Buffalo, but Tom Brady, he has an ability called Pro Reads. Once you complete five or six consecutive passes with Tom Brady, then you unlock this indicator, which will show you as the player, the first receiver who comes open while Tom Brady's in the zone. For both those guys, Brady and Mahomes, the defense then will get an objective to either sack the quarterback or make an interception, and then you can knock them out of the zone. So there's a little bit of a meta game in there or a mini game for both teams to try to get into the zone and knock the player out of the zone.
We're online with Clint Oldenburg. He is a Madden NFL gameplay designer, ratings adjuster. He played in the NFL. Steve mentioned it a second ago, Clint, about players react to their rating, which you assigned. I think you've heard this. Tre'Davious White, Bills cornerback, we all think he's a pretty good player, was on NFL Network earlier this week and had this to say about his rating in the new Madden 20 game. Here's Tre'Davious White.
I did, but I'm not a big guy into video games. I don't really play video games, but I feel like they robbed us on a lot of our guys, man. I mean, look at Micah Hyde. I feel like he should be in the 90s. He's one of the best safeties in the game. From the last 2 years, him and Jordan Poyer, I pretty much think those guys are the best safety duo in the NFL. If you just look at the numbers and look at the way that those guys take the ball away, and then we got Shady at 82, which is very disrespectful, and then you got Josh Allen at a 74. Man, it's something that those guys are gonna take. I feel like you're gonna just take it into the season. That's the extra motivation that we need to get the pretty much get the acknowledgement that we deserve.
Bill's Corner, Tre'Davious White complaining really about the Madden player ratings. Micah Hyde at 86, not 90. Tre'Davious at 85. And you actually tweeted out, Clint, that you thought Tre'Davious could have been rated higher in the Madden game, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tre'Davious. So with our ratings adjuster program, we have a team of about eight people who contribute because we don't want just one person assigning the ratings. So we have a team of people, and we have meetings every week. And I was the guy always campaigning for Tre'Davious White to get either higher ratings or even add on to our superstar list, our X-Factor list that I talked about. But as the season went on, early in the season, he looked like he was approaching shutdown corner status. But the data that we started tracking over the course of the season, teams actually started targeting him about midseason and later in the year, and he had a little bit of a fall off in production. So I think 85 is a good place for him to start. But the most important thing, well, two most important things that these guys should remember, number one, we update our ratings every week. So if you're out there balling out and you're showing up on film, your ratings are going to go up. And then secondly, we like to focus on the overall rating. But what's more important is the individual ratings that make up that overall. So a great example is your quarterback, Josh Allen. He has a 74 overall rating, but he has the highest throw power in the game, which is 99. He's the only quarterback in Madden 20 with a 99 throw power.
And, Clint, you do this. You're a gameplay designer. The ratings come from just data analysis, film study, a little bit of each. How are they generated?
We use anything that we can get our hands on. So we do have film of all 32 NFL teams over the last 5 years. We watch a ton of game film. We read a lot of scouting reports, and we use any data outlets that are out there. I know a lot of people use Pro Football Focus, anything like that. We have Next Gen Stats, Pro Football Focus. We have a number of data points that we can log into to try to nail these guys down. And we use all of that to come together as a group and figure out where these guys should be.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier in our interview that Patrick Mahomes is the cover athlete for Madden 20. Do you guys give any credence or any thought about, you know, who you, not only that, obviously about who you put on and how big a star it is, and Patrick Mahomes seems like a great candidate. Do you remember, is there still any thought about the jinx that happens with all Madden guys, that guys that get on the cover all of a sudden end up getting hurt or not being able to finish the season?
I know that that's definitely a thing. I've heard about it. And as a former NFL guy, I would say by the end of an NFL season, 80% of the players in the league probably are injured in some form or fashion and going to miss a game or two. So I think it's going to be pretty hard for anyone to stay healthy, regardless if you're on the cover or not. So I think the cover curse is a little bit overblown, but I definitely understand why it's the phenomenon that it is.
One thing I heard also about Madden 20, you now have the ability to allow players to create their own college quarterback and insert him into the NFL ranks, correct?
Yeah, you're referring to our new career mode, which is called Face of the Franchise, QB1. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool about that, like you said, you can create a player, and we have face morphing technology, so you can do whatever you want with the face to make it look as much like yourself as you want. And then you get to go through your path to the draft. So you start out in college, you get to play two college games. We actually have 10 college football teams in Madden. And you get to play through the college playoffs as you approach your NFL draft experience and start your career.
Hey, I was wondering, Clint, you're a former offensive lineman in college and the NFL. Is that the most difficult position group to assign grades to? Or take us through that process. Where is it hard to come up with grades for all these players?
I think the two hardest, I think number one is offensive line, because if you haven't played the position or coached the position or been around it in some form or fashion, it's really difficult to understand what they're trying to do each play without having direct knowledge of what the playbook looks like. So that's one area where I try to help the most, is identifying what's going on the film with the offensive lineman. I think the second one that's really hard, especially for me, is defensive backs. The NFL teams nowadays are so good at disguising their coverages, and trying to figure out what their rule sets are, what coverages they're trying to play to play, is really difficult. So luckily we do have some other experts in the building who are good at identifying that stuff. I think those are the two hardest.
Madden 20 is going to be released August 2nd, a couple of weeks away. What kind of platforms is it available on? And I think you said it's available like in a preview sense right now for certain people. Is that right, Clint?
Yeah, we launch on Xbox One. That's Microsoft. Sony PlayStation 4. And we still have our PC SKU. So your personal computer. Those are the three platforms. And then we have EA Access, which is sort of an early look at the game, which starts on the 25th. That's for people who are subscribed to our EA Access Network. And then our official launch date for Madden 20 is August the 2nd.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was the fantasy mode. Is that has nothing to do with fantasy football as we use it in the everyday life, right? This is something different, right? What's the fantasy mode of Madden 20?
Yeah, Madden Ultimate Team is what you're referring to. This is a cool mode. It's kind of another third of Madden where people can go in and play football. But the meta of that, or the minigame of that, is building your roster with players from multiple different eras. So you can have three Bills players, two Falcons players, and Barry Sanders and Sean Taylor, and build the best team that you can. It's primarily where a lot of our competitive players play because there's a lot of strategy involved at finding the best players and the best values and making sure that your team matches up across anything that you can see.
How do you know, I mean, what's the limitations on that? Is there a budget? Is there points that are not? How do you... what's to keep two guys from getting the same guys depending on what their ratings are?
There is multiple different ways to play in that mode. One is salary cap, in which case every player item has a cap cost associated with it. So you have to make more strategic choices about where you want to spend your cap and not spend your cap. Also, we have unlimited, which is you can have any player you want at every position. That's where you see all-star teams. That's why it's kind of known as fantasy football. But in that mode, it's very possible to run up across people who have the same players in the same positions, and that's called Madden Ultimate Team Unlimited.
Hey, Clint, what'd you say? Some 50 million players, Madden games, right? Is that right?
Over how many years? I mean, we have about 5 million on average.
5 million, okay.
Every year, you know, give or take 1 to 2 million based on any given time during the year, but I'd say we average about 5 million active users per year.
5 million. Okay.
You know, every year we're trying to make that number go up.
Yeah, sure. And I was saying to Steve earlier on our show today, Clint, how among your younger players, they probably have no conception of John Madden, who he was, what he did as a coach or a broadcaster. They only know him as the name on this game, right? They would have to, some of those younger guys.
No, that's absolutely true. In fact, we go out to see Coach Madden a couple times a year to pitch the creative vision to him. And he tells us that story all the time. He says, when I go out and I see younger people out in the public, they just call me Madden. It's not Coach, it's not John. They just call me Madden, and they just know me as the guy on the video game. And even a step further, a lot of folks don't even know Madden was a coach. They just think Madden is the video game.
Now, one last thing for me, Clint, is that give us a sense of how one of the things that has happened over recent years is you've gotten the ability to update the information in the games week to week as this season will progress. You know, you'll have Patrick Mahomes' numbers throughout the week. How much time and effort does it take to have that, and what are the deadlines throughout the week for getting the roster set and the injuries updated and the roster fluctuation from week to week? What's kind of the schedule for that week to week in the NFL season?
We try to have our rosters out and live to the public by the time the Thursday night game starts. Occasionally we can miss that deadline. It's a little bit more frequent to miss it early in the season when there's a lot of roster moves going on. But our ratings team is working around the clock once the season starts for those first 3 days of the week to try to get it out by that date. Usually if it's later, it's going to hit after the Thursday night game, later that night. But we're putting in long hours to get those roster updates out as quickly as we can.
Hey, Clint, congratulations on a new edition of Madden. Madden 20 comes out on August 2nd, a couple of weeks away. Keep up the good work. Hope we talk again sometime. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Again, pick up your copy on the 2nd. Let us know what you think. You can find us all over Twitter. And really looking forward to watching the Bills play this year.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Clint. Appreciate it.
Clint Oldenburg is Madden NFL gameplay designer, ratings adjuster, played in the NFL, former NFL offensive tackle and a draft pick of the Patriots in 2007. Madden NFL 20 released on August 2nd, a couple of weeks away.
He was also a former teammate of Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah, he knows Lorenzo.
Yeah, he knows Lorenzo. He was with the Redskins for a cup of coffee.
There's a game we could play in the show. Everybody we have on, former teammate of Lorenzo or not?
That's right.
Right? There's got to be
teammates with Lorenzo.
Hundreds and hundreds of guys who are former teammates of Lorenzo.
It'd be like former teammate. Who is a former teammate of Ryan Fitzpatrick? You know, another one. Over there, you know, who has he not been a teammate?
What's the
of?
Kevin Bacon game that people play? You know,
three levels of Kevin Bacon.
You can do that with Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna break. We're coming back with more. We'll get back to our topic for the Bills to make the playoffs. They must do what? Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. Or send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. You're out of here for a couple of days, right? A little vacay coming up Thursday, Friday this week?
Yeah. Tomorrow? And that's it, you know.
Is today Wednesday? Yeah.
Yeah, today.
Thursday, Friday.
Tomorrow and Friday.
Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report is going to be co-hosting with us. You did a show with him a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it went good.
Give me the scouting report.
He's very good.
I know Tyler.
Came prepared. He's ready. Shows up early. Kind of ready to go. Good.
He's on time.
He's on time.
He just gave him the ultimate compliment. He's on time.
Yeah.
There was a Buffalo Bisons manager years ago, decades ago, and we still laugh about it a little bit, who at the end of the year, terrible year for the Bisons, I can't remember, I think it was Jeff Datz was his name. And I'm over there doing a post, you know, season interview, last day of the season. Rough year for the Bisons. Jeff, what did you think? And overall, how would you assess the whatever year it was, 1990-something Buffalo Bisons and the roster you had? And he goes, well, this group, they were on time. The best thing he could say was they were on time.
They were on time.
They were on time. Is that what you just said about Tyler Dunn? He's on time?
Yes, but that's not the way I meant it. You've kind of changed the tone it's now.
In our group, especially, it became like a slam. What do you think of that guy as a player? Or what do you think of him? What do you think of her? He's on time.
He showed up on time.
He shows up on time. That's not what you want as your epitaph. Oh, he was on time.
Yeah.
Hey, for the Bills to make the playoffs in 2019, they must do what? Give us a call. We got a couple of minutes here. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. We have tweets, lots of them. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corgan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. The tweet sheet from Gus, for the Bills to make the playoffs, he says the Bills have to continue with a dominant defense, grow and build an explosive offense, believe in the process. Wow. Can you be more specific?
Wow, there you go.
I get it. Look, number two defense in the league last year. Were they dominant? I don't know about that. Were they?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think
at
they
times,
were
but not consistently.
Right. No, not the way it started. From Vince, what do the Bills need to do? What must they do to make the playoffs? Vince says to make the playoffs, the offensive line has to gel quickly with potentially 4 out of 5 new starters. That unspoken communication is paramount to the offense being successful. There's no way that Daboll's offense can operate efficiently without it. I do think Vince and an earlier, I believe it was somebody on Twitter, are onto something there, Steve. I do think, you ask me what must happen for the Bills to make the playoffs this year, I'd go right to the offensive line, maybe first. Gel quickly, hope so. Identify quickly who's playing where. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be done in the next couple of weeks, I would think. And then gel, play well together, communicate, as Vince points out on Twitter.
Yeah, and any way you want to slice it, it's got to be like all the things they've done to fix it need to have worked. You know, that's basically what it's coming down to. There's no question they've done everything reasonably possible, even, you know, they've committed a large bulk of the assets they had this offseason into that one position group. They needed to get it fixed from a year ago. They need it because they have a young quarterback. They need it so they can take pressure off him not only in pass protection but also by giving him a run game. They've tried to fix it both ways. They've drafted guys and they've signed guys, and they've got a bunch of them. So as they sift through that process, no question, they have every reason to believe it's going to get better. And the question is, not only is it going to get better, is it going to come together in time for the regular season opener so they can hit the ground running on opening day? That is a question. But if that all happens, that is the one thing that will make this team look much different than it did a year ago.
What do you think? What else you got on your tweet sheet there, buddy? You
got one more? From Doug. He says, let's get two-dimensional. We cannot be a team that only runs. The brass acknowledged that and went out and made moves. Make Cole and Brown earn the money we have a year to Josh Allen in the same system. No changes. He's got linemen and new toys. Let's throw, baby. And that's to your point.
Yeah.
You think that this offense needs to look – this passing game needs to look like an NFL passing game.
Yeah.
You've got to put some fear into some people. You got to have some guys that you know, when you need a third and short, you can put the ball in the air. You don't have to hand it off every time. You can pick up a third and five, third and seven once in a while. All of that stuff. When you drop back to throw, nobody expects your quarterback just to pull it down and run with it every time. I mean, Josh Allen, you know, was the leading rusher on the club last year. You can't have that. You can't have that and be a team that – you know, and reach your full potential as an offense.
And they don't have to, you know, fill the air with footballs here. They don't have to throw it all over the yard, but they have to be an effective and plausible NFL passing offense, which they were not. They failed miserably last year at that. Another one from the tweet sheet from Tom. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what Tom says, stop the run, in all caps. He points out the Bills ranked 17th in the NFL, stopping the run last year, allowing 115 yards per game, 17 touchdowns. Shoring up run defense will lower the points per game where they are 18th, giving up 23.4 points per game. That defense should be and needs to be under 20 points per game. And that goes back to the earlier point about a dominant defense. That those kind of stats indicate as good as they were overall defensively, they were not dominant. And if you ask, and we have this offseason, asked Bills defenders, what about your defense last year? They will tell you that nobody has ever said we were dominant. Nobody could score on us. Nobody could run the ball. No, there were holes in their game, right? Red zone problems.
It really speaks to the quality of the guys they've got on that side of the ball. We had Micah Hyde come in early in the offseason. Well, it was early in the OTAs this year. He came in and sat with us for just a few minutes. And we said, what are you guys working on? He says, listen, last year, he told us point blank, he said, our red zone defense was horrible.
Yeah.
He goes, we have got to keep them out of the end zone. Okay, give them a field goal, fine, but we cannot let teams just get to the 20-yard line and then just push it on into the end zone, either by the throw or the pass. He goes, we just were not good enough. And so they know there's a lot of things that they can do differently and better with this defense. And that speaks to the point. If you want to get more effective, just keep them off the scoreboard more. I mean, if you can get your defense to allow less than 20 points, 17 points a game, now you're talking about a team that's really, really good. And they're going to have games where they only give them 10 points. I mean, that's the kind of defense that wins you games and could get you to a championship. And they'll start and I started out by saying it speaks to the quality that those guys are willing to admit it. Say, we got a lot to work on. And, of course, they've spent – not only has the regime spent a lot of time and effort fixing the offensive line, the defense, who was pretty good last year, is still working to improve their side of the ball as well. So hopefully they all get it done.
One more from the tweet sheet from Swice is nice. What do they must do to make the playoffs? He says, set Josh Allen up for success by allowing him to stack up easy completions and running the ball sufficiently. Defense must produce turnovers and let 49 run wild. Edmonds. These things, plus big-time special teams plays here and there, will get the Bills back to the playoffs and beyond. That's a lot. That's a laundry list. But his first thing, set Josh Allen up for success, allowing him to stack up easy completions. And I'm going to focus on that because that's my point about what must happen. They must be an effective passing game. They don't need to throw the ball all over the yard, and I hope they don't. They don't need to go deep all the time. I hope they don't. But they need an effective NFL passing offense, Steve, where they complete the short passes, where they can pick up first downs, where they can throw underneath coverage, where they can throw to backs coming out of the backfield. Hopefully they have a tight end, whether it's one of the rookies or maybe Kroft coming over from Cincinnati, a tight end who can contribute a lot to the passing game. The entire package, the passing offense, needs to be better. I think that's what must happen for them to be a playoff team. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no question that it's going to take a lot of things going right to win a lot of games. And yet we've all seen it. We've seen it time and time again. I think one of the things that I keep coming back to is that I'd like to see Josh just play like he did in week 18 or week 17 last year, the game against the Dolphins here in New Era Field.
And like to see the offense play that way, right?
He completed 65%+ of his passes.
Like to see that offensive approach.
Yeah.
That's how I want him to play.
And that
Not
game,
him, but the team.
Right. That game in and of itself shows you that it's in there somewhere. You can pull that 65% of his passes is 12% higher than his season average. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
If he could complete 65% of his passes every week, like clockwork, where he comes out, and he just said in the post-game interview after that game, he said, listen, we just wanted to take that easy completion. Man, get the ball out of his hands. It worked to perfection against the Miami Dolphins. It proved that he's got that in him somewhere to be that kind of quarterback, a possession kind of a timing throw quarterback, an accurate quarterback, a quarterback that gets it the ball out of his hands on time to his guy who is open. It was a great game plan. They executed it flawlessly. He threw for 3 touchdowns in the game. And he ran for 2. The defense played extremely well. They hung 42 points on the Dolphins. That type of offensive performance, that gets you places. It wasn't Josh's most spectacular game of that season, but man, oh man, it was a really productive game. He didn't throw for 300 yards, but he did complete a lot of balls, and this offense, they couldn't get it off the field. So all those things together, that's the kind of game you need. Forget about stats. Just do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course, a skeptic would say that was the Dolphins who were marginally interested in that game, right? They won't get opponents like that 16 times this season. But a good point. Nonetheless, hey, for the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? A couple of phone calls on this. We'll go to Carl in Clarence. Hello, Carl. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Real good, Carl.
Got a comment and a question.
Okay.
John, did you by chance on your vacation happen to get over to Fort Erie Racetrack?
I did not. I thought about it, drove by it. I actually went to the racetrack in Prince Edward Island last week, though, with harness racing, which was a little bit different. It's a big sport up there. What are you laughing about? I haven't been to Fort Erie yet this year. It's in my plans, though.
And my comment is, I think to make the playoffs, I think we just have to hold the opposing team to under 20 on average and keep Josh healthy and get him a little more accurate. I think that should be good enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Carl.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy. I mean, don't lose sight of the fact that if Josh Allen's going to get better, it's because he's playing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
Thanks. We'll go to Chris in California. Where in California are you, Chris? It's kind of a big state.
Over here in Fresno.
Fresno, okay. Welcome to the show.
Not too far from Fireball and from Reezy College, where Josh Allen went to school.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Hey, you know, hey, so one thing I think the Bills could improve upon is their third down conversion. I heard you guys talking, I think it was not earlier today or maybe yesterday, that they were the worst at three and outs.
Right.
If they're not converting those third down conversions, that gives them a 0% chance to even score or stay on the field, and then the other offense is going to be on the field, and we got to pray our defense holds up and, you know, keeps them from scoring. But if our third down conversions can pick up, you know, the offense could get better because now they're on the field longer and, you know, gives them more opportunity to score.
I can't disagree with that, Chris. And, again, a stat that I believe reflects how futile they were in the passing game last year. They upgrade their passing offense this year. Third down should come along with it, I believe. What do you think, Chris?
Absolutely. You know, the less that Josh Allen's on the field, the less chance he has to better his stats.
Yeah,
you know,
stats and wins. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Chris, from California. We appreciate that. We had that good discussion today. Bills make the playoffs. They must do what? We're still open for that. But let's do a little NFL true or false, Steve. You up for this?
Alrighty then.
Brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, America's artisan cheese. Just kidding. New York's artisan cheese.
New York's artisan
Here's
cheese.
Here's one that troubles me. The question troubles me. Okay. True or false? And this is the result of a CBSSports.com article. They went out and picked one game on every team's schedule that could make or break their season. They picked the Bills' home opener against the Bengals week 3 as the make or break game for the Bills. Week 3 against the Bengals, a make or break game for the Bills in 2019. Are you kidding me? Really? Week 3 is going to make or break your season? So if they come home after 2 on the road and beat the Bengals, their season is made? No. False. Ridiculous. It's so false. Come on, man. I know we're at the dregs of the offseason here and there's nothing going on, but now you're just inventing stupid concepts. Yeah, week three, beat the Bengals. What are you telling me, that the Bills are in good shape for the rest of the year? No. Lose to the Bengals, season over? No. Come on. Not just false, stupidly false. Ridiculously false.
I can't disagree with you. I thought, I was like, what? When I saw that that was the game that they picked, I was like, no. I mean, I would even, it's an out-of-division game. It's the home opener. These kind of things come from sources. Well, they come from sources that are outside of Buffalo. It's like saying they're going to lose their home opener, so the fans are going to lose interest. They have no idea what the fans in Buffalo are like. Yeah. Do you really think these fans in this town are going to lose interest over this team if they lose a home opener? Come on, man. That's crazy talk. You get these guys that write these articles, and they go all around the league, and they parachute, and they just look from 10,000 miles away at all the other franchises, whatever franchise they cover, and they look at all the others from 1,000 miles away, and they just throw a dart. And it's ridiculous.
Here's the thing. I believe this. I've said it for a couple of years on this show. That looks like, home opener, that'll be an important game. You know what? It's a week-to-week league, right? I mean, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've said this on the show. There may come a game down at the rear end of the schedule, against Baltimore, December 8th, where that's a critical game, an AFC game, home game. We really need to beat the Baltimore Ravens. You don't know. You can't say make or break at this in July. What's going to be make or break? Come on, man. We're not that stupid, are we?
Let's go to another
true or false, part two. Darius Leonard, outstanding rookie season for the Indianapolis Colts. Darius Leonard, the focus of a feature story on NFL.com, has big goals for his second year in the NFL. Darius Leonard will get 200 tackles this year for the Colts. You looked this up about the number of 200 tackle seasons.
There's like three of them.
All time. Yeah. Anybody. And didn't Spielman have one here?
It's like three guys who've done it and a total of four times. One guy's done it twice. It's rare.
Look, I know Darius Leonard is a good player, really good player, but no, it's so statistically rare, Steve points out. No, he won't get 200 tackles. That's false, too.
Yeah, I agree. I did say if there's a guy that's going to do it, he may be the guy. And this came up from an article that was written about him. They asked him about his goals. You know, he was left out of the Pro Bowl. The guy had a phenomenal year. He was an absolute force. He added on the home page of his own personal cell phone. He's got a quote from the Bleacher Report or somebody that said he was the worst draft pick of the draft for the Colts. And he's got this enormous chip on his shoulder. He absolutely dominated on the inside for the Colts. But I think, like you, it's 200 tackles. Doesn't happen that often. And he was said, you know, what keeps you going? He goes, I want to have 200 tackles. I want to be a Pro Bowl starter. I want to be all pro. I want to be a defensive MVP of the league. And I want to be Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
He goes, he is so
I want
highly,
a pony.
Yeah, he's so highly motivated, and that's the issue. He was so highly motivated, and that's why he's a great player.
He's a good
player. He's got no end point to his motivation. And so he is going to have a great year, in my opinion. I think he's going to have another great year, and he will be a Pro Bowler. He may be an All-Pro. He may be a Defensive Player of the Year, 200 tackles. He's not going to have 200 tackles to do all of those things. So
what a
I'm
great draft for the Colts last year, huh? Offensive linemen and that guy. What a great draft that was.
And he's one of those rare guys, Murph, that you see. And there's some in this building, too. There's just no end point to how badly they want it.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen other guys, they create goals. And one thing about making goals for yourself, when you reach them, well, then what? So these guys make their goals, they're almost unreachable. So they never stop. The hunger never stops. The spark never stops. The fire and the desire to win or to get there never stops. And that's why they continue on in their career and get better and better and better.
One more NFL true or false. I like this one. ESPN.com did a story forecasting the next three NFL seasons with a bunch of predictions. One of them, the next Los Angeles team to reach the Super Bowl will be the Chargers. I say true. Look, I've had the Chargers in the Super Bowl, my preseason prediction, each of the last 2 years. Time's running out. The Melvin Gordon stuff doesn't help. I assume they'll get that solved, but I think they are. I think they have an outstanding roster. I think they are well coached by Anthony Lynn. I say true. The Rams will reach the Super Bowl next before the Chargers will reach the Super Bowl before the Rams do. I say absolutely true.
I'm going to say true as well. I don't think it's not that I don't think that I think the Rams are going to fall off a cliff. I think they're going to continue to be very good under Sean McVay. I do think there are some limitations. I don't know if Todd Gurley, but as many problems as Melvin Gordon presents, Todd Gurley's no better. He may be on and off the field very quickly with the knee problems that he has had. And Phillip Rivers is not going anywhere. He played as well last year as he has any year in his career. The guy's getting it done, and Keenan Allen and that receiving core are going to continue to be productive. This is still going to be a team that's going to score points, and they've got some pretty good defenders as well. So yeah, I'm going to say yeah, true. I like the Chargers this year better than I like the Rams.
Me too. All right, there you go. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the folks here at One Bills Drive. Good show today. Kyle Williams joined us, 13-year Bills veteran who's got a lot going on, played in the American Century Golf Classic last weekend. And Kyle is the narrator for Buffalo Bills Embedded Season 2, which is available on the Bills YouTube channel this Sunday at 7 p.m. Kyle Williams, Steve asked him a pretty insightful, thoughtful question. I was not surprised. No, you look at me like, oh, I did? No, Steve asked him about the changes that he witnessed in pro football over the course of his 13-year career. Here's what Kyle said.
I know, like, when I first came in the league, everything was such power-oriented, power run game, play action, all those kinds of things. And, you know, now it's such a spread game, and everybody has to be mobile and be able to play in space. I think I've seen the game change that way. But, you know, I don't know that there's anything that I would have changed. I got to see a lot of different things. I got to experience a lot of different things. I got to see the city kind of take off again and play for a lot of different coaches. So, I mean, I try to take, have a silver lining of everything I saw. That would be something that would require a little deeper thought than, you know, just a quick question today.
Give us some thought, Kyle. We'll get back to you on that. It was good to talk to Kyle today. We also talked with Clint Oldenburg, former NFL offensive lineman, who is a game design specialist for Madden 20. And he talked about complaints from folks like Tre'Davious White about their Madden rating. Here's what Clint Oldenburg said about that.
So we have a team of people, and we have meetings every week, and I was the guy always campaigning for Tre'Davious White to get either higher ratings or even add on to our superstar list, our X-Factor list that I talked about. But as the season went on, early in the season, he looked like he was approaching shutdown corner status. But the data that we started tracking over the course of the season, teams actually started targeting him about mid-season and later in the year, and he had a little bit of a fall-off in production. So I think 85 is a good place for him to start. But the most important thing, two most important things that these guys should remember. Number one, we update our ratings every week. So if you're out there balling out and you're showing up on film, your ratings are going to go up. And then secondly, we like to focus on the overall rating. But what's more important is the individual ratings that make up that overall.
Clint Oldenburg, we did not have a Twitter poll today, but we got some interesting discussion going on what must happen for the Bills to make the playoffs. And, you know, thinking about the responses, Steve, I don't know if there was one predominant theme. People are kind of all over the board. Don't you agree?
It went somewhat on the other side of the ball, but mostly it did center around the offense, the offensive line, more consistently, a passing game, a running game. But there were even some people chiming in and saying, listen, the defense has got to step it up. They need to do better against the run. They gave up over 100 yards a game and all that.
People saying special teams.
Yeah, special teams, all three phases. So it was interesting topic of discussion because all of it's worth having. It's going to be a fun year to watch, but this year there's a lot of people with a lot of specific ideas about what it's going to take.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.